This is Tom Shrewsbury with Reflections for the Covenant Network. As you know, we've covered the stories of the lives of many saints, as well as those individuals who may be canonized sometime in the future. Some of these people date from long ago, and some from what we might consider our time, like the beatifications of Mother Teresa and Pope John Paul II. But you know, there are those others from not so long ago whose lives and stories need to be told. It's what we can learn from them. I believe these holy people have important messages for us, as well as lessons from which we all can benefit. And just maybe they can help us to better appreciate and live our faith to the best of our abilities. And with that preamble, I want to add that our story for today is someone from our time, at least mostly in the 20th century. Her life is truly incredible. So incredible that although I've been familiar with her reputation and the story of her life, I've waited for a specific action from the church before I told her story. And that took place not too long ago in the Cathedral of St. Francis of Assisi in Metuchen, New Jersey, in which the Bishop of Metuchen formally opened the cause of beatification and canonization of Maria Esperanza in a solemn mass in the presence of two other bishops and 43 priests and more than 1,000 people who were crowded into the cathedral, with hundreds more from Italy, Canada, Peru, Argentina, Venezuela, the United States, and many other countries crowded into the parish center watching on a giant screen TV. Well, what inspired this tremendous outpouring of faith? Well, that's our story for today. Maria Esperanza was born on the 22nd of November, 1928, in Venezuela. Her life became complicated at the age of 2, with the death of her father and the responsibility of her mother having to raise Maria and her 4 brothers all by herself. Obviously, it was not easy, but Maria's mother was a tireless worker, trying to provide for her family while at the same time instilling in her children the value of true Christian principles with the strong foundation of spirituality. And not just using words, her life was an example, and prayer was a necessity. So it was no wonder that from the very beginning, little Maria began praying to God and to the saints. And Maria's first extraordinary encounter took place when she was just 5 years old. Her mother was going on a short trip, and after waving goodbye, Maria felt something strange. She felt drawn to the Orinoco River, just a short distance away. And then she saw a woman emerging from the water, who then threw a rose to her, which she caught. And then Maria ran, catching up with her mother, and showed her the rose. Her mother was very surprised to see the beautiful flower because there were no roses blooming anywhere in that area, and the aroma from the rose was powerful and sweet. And from that moment, roses would always play an important part in the life of Maria Esperanza. Sometime later, she would see a picture of the little flower, St. Therese, and Maria recognized her as the lady from the river. Well, she couldn't understand why she had been given the rose, at least not at that time. Well, Maria and her family moved to Caracas when she was 10, and several years later, she became seriously ill with what was diagnosed as pneumonia. And then another beautiful lady appeared to her, and she felt a great peace. And then the lady spoke to her, identifying herself as the Virgin of the Valley, and told her that she was, in effect, her heavenly mother who had come to comfort her and to give her a mission. She said it was to help me save this world that is going astray. Well, strange gifts seemed to be going Marie's way. She was developing the gift of reading hearts. She would know things before they happened. She would know when guests would be arriving, or when friends were ill or experiencing problems. And then she would offer suggestions, and her recommendations would be correct, even from one so young. Once she prayed over a sick child who immediately recovered. But her own health was to remain shaky at best. Several years later, she was again very ill with a severe heart problem. And it was during this illness the now 14-year-old Maria seemed on the brink of death when she looked up and saw the Sacred Heart of Jesus who spoke to her. He said, "Maria Esperanza, my mother and I will heal you. Do not despair. You will find peace and relief of your sufferings. My father had heard you, and you will rise." Well, to the amazement of her doctors, Maria's condition seemed to vanish, and her recovery was almost instantaneous. They were truly astonished because they had been convinced that she would not possibly survive. Well, after her many encounters from above, Maria felt called to the religious life, and as she grew older, she entered the convent of the Franciscan Sisters of Merida in her native Venezuela. On October the 3rd, in 1954, Saint Therese again appeared to her while she was praying in the chapel and gave her a message. But first she tossed her a rose, and the thorns made her fingers bleed. And her message was, well, she was told that the real calling for her life was not that of a nun, but as a wife and mother. And then she received another message from above. She was told that she should go to Rome, and there she would receive a special blessing from the Pope, and there she would learn what her mission would be, what God was calling her to do. And while in Rome, she was told that she would meet the man she would marry, and she would know because when she met him, he would be wearing a sword. And when they married, they would have 7 children. Well, always obedient to the will of God, Maria left the convent and went to Italy, where she met Gio Bianchini Gianni on the 1st of November in 1954. He was an official of the President of Venezuela, and as such, he was wearing a sword. Well, naturally, they fell in love and planned to marry. Now, Maria loved the Chapel of the Immaculate Conception in Rome and thought it would be a perfect site for the wedding. However, no one had ever been married there, and any possible wedding in that chapel would require the personal approval of the Pope. Well, she had met a Monsignor who was associated with the papal office and asked him to make a personal request to the Pope for his permission. And he agreed. Well, the request was made to His Holiness, and Pope Pius XII approved, saying, "Yes, I know who she is." Well, the wedding was held on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception on December the 8th, 1956. Now, it's important to mention that from the time Maria had left the convent, she had received a number of visits from the Blessed Mother, preparing her for her future mission that would have its beginning back in her native Venezuela. And this would take place in a grotto that was described to her as having trees and a stream, and would one day become a place of peace and worship. And then the Blessed Mother would appear to her there, and others would see her too, and know she was truly present. Well, during her time in Italy, Maria had heard about a priest who was bearing the wounds of Christ with great mystical powers, living in a monastery at San Giovanni Rotondo, and who had the stigmata, the wounds of Christ on his body, and many charisms. His name was Padre Pio, and she felt he was calling her, so she went to San Giovanni Rotondo. Now, before her arrival, Padre Pio had said he expected a visit from a very extraordinary woman, and as he said, he had called for her. Well, when she arrived, there were great throngs just trying for a glimpse of Padre Pio. And as she arrived, he suddenly called out, "Esperanza." Well, they met and became friends. Later, in 1968, he visited her in a vision back at her home. He said, "I have come to say goodbye. My time has come. It is your turn." End of quote. And as she was experiencing this, her husband was watching and said for a moment, her face resembled the old priest and then returned to normal. The next day, they read in the paper that Padre Pio had died. Well, Maria and Geo would return to Venezuela, and their life was happy as their children arrived, as predicted, while they continued to search for that special place. Oh, they had the specific directions beyond what I mentioned, the majestic trees, the stream, a grotto, and a number of other specifics for Our Lady's Shrine of Mercy. And Our Lady had made it very clear that it would become a place of worship. Well, the search covered a time frame of about 17 years, and they searched for this special place in location after location throughout most of Venezuela. Now, Maria's husband had a business interest in construction and oil, and this gave them access to many sites, but none seemed to match exactly what had been described to Maria. And during this period of the 1970s, there had been a pretty bad drought in Venezuela, and one of her husband's friends, who was a cattle farmer, was having difficulty because of the lack of adequate water supply for his cattle. Well, being good friends, J.O. and Maria felt they should visit that area and see what they could do to help. Well, when they arrived at the site, which was located about an hour and a half from Caracas, they were enchanted with the location. It was known as Betania. Although it wasn't immediately visible, there was also a stream with a waterfall. Maria was stunned in looking around. It contained everything that she had been shown years ago in her vision. There was only one solution. Well, J.O. and his friend bought the land and started clearing it. 2 years later, J.O.'s mother, who lived in Italy, was very ill, and the couple went back to visit her, and Maria had another vision. The Blessed Mother appeared once again and told Maria to return to Betania and to prepare herself for something very special that was going to happen. Reminds me a little of Fatima, in which Our Lady told the shepherd children that something special was going to happen to them so people would see and believe. Well, Maria and her husband spent a great deal of time in Betania, which incidentally means Bethany, improving the grounds and the area. And then the time had come. The first of the apparitions at Betania took place on the 25th of March in 1976. Many of Maria's family and friends were, of course, well aware of the special events and promised graces associated with Betania, and were present when Our Lady, as promised, did appear to Maria. But she was not seen by those present. However, the people were aware of strange happenings that were taking place at the time, like the sounds of music and chanting from an invisible choir. And as they looked up, they saw what was described as a pulsating sun and a strange mist that seemed to cover the surrounding mountains. And throughout the area, there seemed to be blossoming flowers where none had existed before. Then the Blessed Mother appeared to Maria. As I said, she was the only one to see her at that time, but the approximately 80 people present saw what appeared to be a heavenly cloud. Maria was told that this was not a dream, and to be loyal to her heavenly mother so that she may rejoice for all eternity. She was told, "Your task is arduous, to hand on my message of love and reconciliation to all people and nations. You will suffer, but what joy and happiness it will be to see that you have been loyal to me, your mother. I will lead you by the hand." Well, this was the confirmation of the role Maria was to follow, as what had been described to her as an ambassador of reconciliation, as a victim soul in reparation for the sins of others. She was told what she must do, and that in 1984, abundant graces, conversions, healings of the body and souls would take place, as well as many priestly and religious vocations that would occur in Botania. And those asking for graces and forgiveness will be heard. She promised that on March 25th of that year, she would be given many graces, and then all those present shall see me. Wow. Well, on the 25th of March in 1984, there were perhaps as many as 150 pilgrims present for a Mass that was to be celebrated at noon. And following Mass, some of the children present had wandered away toward the waterfall, and the events that followed propelled Botania into a world-class pilgrimage site. As the children played near the waterfall, something attracted their attention. They stopped and gazed at the sparkling water and saw a beautiful lady standing behind it. Naturally, they raced back with the news of what they had seen. Probably most of the adults shrugged it off as flights of fancy. But then they too saw the beautiful lady, not just once, but a total of 7 times in a 3-hour time period. And these included clergy, theologians, professional people, and many others who were there. But this was just the beginning of those wonderful things that were about to happen. At the time, well, as the time would progress, first in the hundreds the people arrived, and then in the thousands. Visitors and pilgrims saw manifestations in Botania around Maria. There was a steady stream of reported miracles and answers to prayers that became so widespread that the local bishop decided that it was very important for him to begin a diocesan investigation. I should mention that the bishop, Pio Bello Ricardo, was also a trained psychologist and looked on these reported events with great skepticism and personally interviewed more than 100 witnesses from atheists to medical professionals who testified exactly the same. And then there was a prominent Harvard-trained local physician who was cured of cancer at Botania. Bishop Pio's investigation would take more than 3 years, including a trip to Rome, where he met with the Pope and then the prefect of the Sacred Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, Cardinal Ratzinger. And upon his return, he issued a pastoral letter declaring Botania sacred ground and the events surrounding Maria as worthy of belief. He wrote, and I quote, "After studying with determination the apparitions of the Most Holy Virgin Mary in Botania and after assiduously asking our Lord for spiritual discernment, I declare that in my judgment, these apparitions are authentic and of supernatural character. Well, as told to Maria years before by Padre Pio, she was also blessed with the stigmata, which was, of course, examined in great detail by competent medical authorities, who said that there was a tremendous loss of blood involved, but that was not all. There was more to come from the events at Betania. It just may have been God's way of sending us a message: pay attention to me while there is still time. Well, on the 8th of December in 1991, communion was being prepared in Betania, and as the priest held up the sacred host, it began to bleed. Well, the priest carefully placed the host aside and later reverently, very reverently, carried it to the proper church officials, where it was carefully examined and then examined further by medical professionals. They all concluded that the red substance was indeed human blood. Well, that host is preserved in a special reliquary in a church in Los Tecos, where some observers have seen what appears to be flames appearing in the host, as well as other images. And there are many, many unexplained, beautiful events that are constantly taking place in Betania, which many refer to it now as the Lourdes of the Americas. There is also often the report of a beautiful blue butterfly happily circling the shrine area at Betania. But back to Maria Esperanza. Many have seen her praying in church while deep in prayer. She was seen to levitate a foot or two above the ground. And many claim, as in the case of Padre Pio, there was a strong and distinct aroma of roses about her. And at times, similar to Saint Teresa, there would be rose petals falling all around her, too. She would lead a life of great suffering, and she would travel as a missionary to many places, including the United States, where she once said in 1992, quote, "I see two huge towers with black smoke all around them." And in New York again in early September of 2001, she said, "Something big is about to happen to the United States on American soil." Well, I personally have a special interest in Maria Esperanza, because I was fortunate enough to visit Betania in the mid-90s, and we were supposed to have the opportunity of visiting with Maria Esperanza herself, but she was ill, and so we spent more than an hour with two of her daughters, whom she sent to visit with us at her place and to tell us her story. Well, Maria Esperanza died on August the 7th, 2004, in New Jersey, while visiting the United States, which is why her cause for canonization was opened there. There are many, many other stories about this servant of God, Maria Esperanza, but the clock on the wall is moving too fast. She did leave us a message. She said, "The moment has arrived when mankind must awaken to the love of God." She claimed this was the hour of decision for humanity, and that a great moment is approaching, and best we prepare for it. Well, we have been warned again. This is Tom Shrewsbury with Reflections for the Covenant Network.